It is We Talk Comics, episode 115. Already struggling with technical problems. That is not the episode title. We are actually struggling with technical problems as we try to add regular co-host Chris to our call. I am Keith, hosting the show this week. This is our special, it's an introductory crossover event. we're trying to put together a proper crossover event, but this is the crossover prelude. There's always a prelude.
we're in issue zero.
This is We Talk Comics and Heck Yeah Comics, issue zero. And I think Chris and I had a title.
I think it was Heck Yeah We Talk Comics. that's the one he sent me.
Well, is it one of those things that when it's your episode, it gets to be Heck Yeah We Talk Comics, and it's my episode, it gets to be We Talk Comics Heck Yeah?
There we go. Whoever's leading off.
And so I'm joined by David. Introduce yourself. Say what you do. Who you are.
Well, I'm David Luzader, as Keith so eloquently put it. I am the co-host of the Heck Yeah, We Love Comics podcast, usually with Nick, who wanted to be here tonight, but unfortunately is off with his girlfriend. Apparently his priorities are all out of whack, so we'll just have to make do with me tonight. But yeah, just a big-time comic fan looking to nerd out and all that good stuff. So I'm really excited to be here tonight. And I've been practicing my controversial opinions all day for this show. like personally, I don't think that Marvel has enough crossover events.
Really?
I think there should... I'm just kidding. I think really, there are too many.
They're now at the point where a crossover event is like... You know, it's almost like Original Sin will have to have Inhuman on the cover. But like, Original Sin number 6 will also be an Inhuman tie-in event. Tie-in issue.
Oh, it totally will. Yeah. And it's interesting, DC kind of did the same thing where they were like already into Future's End several weeks. And it's like, by the way, Forever Evil is now over. Here's the last issue.
Well, in DC's case, it just got completely late. In Marvel's case, it's actually planned that way. So
not sure which is better, honestly.
That's kind of like a head gut, where do you want to get punched kind of choice.
It's true. Either way, we the readers are getting screwed.
That's right. We're all losers when it comes to these crossover events.
And we still pay money for them. That's the great part. Now, I just love that that they're really into Original Sin right now and they're plastered everywhere. But everything I'm seeing is, hey, Axis is coming up. You know, forget the event we're in the middle of. Let's pay attention to something happening in 6 months. Not even like 6 months, like 2 months now.
Which one is Axis? I've actually completely lost the thread with Marvel.
Oh, jeez. Axis, and we've even talked about it on Heck Yeah. I just can't. It's... I don't think they've released a lot of details about it, but it's going to be, you know, superheroes versus supervillains this time instead of all the heroes having a bunch of turmoil. You've got Red Skull in the Onslaught armor. You've got Green Goblin, who actually is Hobgoblin. They switched that over. Sabretooth's in there. Some other people. Who knows?
Oh, I also love Axe of Vengeance. Nice. 1992 crossover. Well, and they've got Inhuman in between those two. They still haven't started Inhuman, have they?
I don't know. I have a hard enough time keeping track of what's going on in my own life. I can't keep track of Marvel's problems. I'm sure, though, if Nick were here, he would give you a detailed list of what's happening, what's going to happen. He has, I don't know how he has all that stuff. then like I can just add a comment in whenever he's talking, and it seems like I know what I'm talking about. Like if I were to do the show by myself, it would be nothing. It would just be awkward silence while I'm like, hey, how about that Batman?
All right, Chris tells me he can now hear us.
Well, that's good.
So for those listening to the show, Chris is also listening to the show.
He's getting a preview.
But in real time, yeah. So that's something. So
is I plugged in? I don't know.
So David, on the We Talk Comics podcast, I do a little section called The News.
All right.
And I know on the Heck Yeah podcast, you do a little section called The News.
We're very original in that sense. Yes, we're trying to break the mold.
So we're both really you know, standing on the shoulders of giants of all the comic book podcasts that have come before who have also done The News.
Yep.
It's really, you know, respect to our forefathers of all podcast history. But we're gonna do a little dueling news. We'll go back and forth on a couple of news topics. Did you bring anything with you for news?
Luckily, I have been collecting a couple of things throughout the week. So, yeah, I've got a couple of news stories I can throw out.
All right, we'll flip for who starts. Two-Face coin, Scarred on Scarred.
Okay. Scarred. I'm calling Scarred.
You came up Scarred. All right, you start.
Oh, great. I really was not expecting that. But I'm going to steal the big story that yesterday Marvel announced on The View, which is the weirdest venue for any comic announcement in the world, that come October, we're relaunching Thor, but this time the power of Thor will be wielded by a currently unknown woman. And that's really all we know at this time. For some reason, Thor Odinson is going to be deemed unworthy of Mjolnir, and we have someone else stepping in to take over that role, even though Thor Odinson will still be around wielding that giant axe that I can't remember the name of.
Oh, that's not coming back to me. I know I'm now Mjolnir. I had a girlfriend that learned to speak Norse. The only reason I encouraged her to do that was to find out how Mjolnir is pronounced.
I, like most people, learned it from the movie, I imagine.
Well, then the movie comes out and makes it easy for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now everyone's like, you wasted all that time. I cannot pronounce the name of that axe.
Was not the only time I wasted with that girlfriend. Ouch. Heyo.
Oh, it's getting real here.
So what do I think of this? I am not a big Thor fan. I do not read Thor. I am reasonably sure my life will be heavily impacted by this change. I'm in favor. I'm using She Thor. As I found out after the David Goyer kerfuffle. She-Hulk is an awesome name that's very, very empowering. So She-Thor must be equally empowering.
Well, however, Marvel would take offense to that, and they're saying this is not Thorita or whatever you want to call her. That this is Thor in all of Thor's glory.
Now I'm trying to remember. Eric Masterson did use the name Thor. I don't know if Beta Ray Bill did. The Frog did not. So I'm trying to think of all the others that have used the hammer before. Who, like, Eric Masterson did call himself Thor. So that there's precedent there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I know
what the deal is going to be. Yeah.
I should tell our listeners as well. Those that have not not checked out at Heck Yeah podcast, do so. But David is not the grizzled old comic fan that those of us on the We Talk podcast are. So every once in a while, I will throw out something that David's like, I don't know, I was a fetus. Why would I?
And I'm trying to learn, actually. That's what's funny is that's one of my big aspirations, is to learn a lot more about comic history. So this is good. This is making me learn.
Right. Well, see, now the temptation to just make stuff up.
Like, and I'd probably be like, oh, yeah.
There was this time that Thor was a frog.
Oh, no, I knew about that. I knew that was true. Which I actually learned that today. So.
Going all sneaking back to earlier today.
Yeah, I'm sneaking under the radar on that one. One thing I think is really interesting about this whole female Thor thing is that I think Marvel wants it to be a much bigger deal than it is. Based on like their announcement, they keep like releasing articles and all these releases, and people are like, "Cool, yeah, female Thor." Life goes on.
My wife is the best focus group because she does not read comics, and every time I tell her something crazy that's happened in comics, she's like, "Well, that sounds dumb." That's pretty much her reaction when anything happens, when she hears anything that's happening. It's a good check in. Yeah. It's a good check-in on the level of seriousness that should be brought to it.
Yeah, my wife's the same way in that aspect. Or then like, sometimes I'll say something, she's like, that's dumb, and then I have to spend 20 minutes trying to explain why it's not dumb. Like, no, it's really cool. He was a frog. It's great.
It was this other time. The best thing you can do for your non-comic reading loved ones is never say the phrase after one of the comic book movies, but in the comics.
Well, and that's the hard thing, is everyone I know here doesn't really read comics, so we'll be sitting in, Captain America will end, and they just all kind of turn to me. Like, what are you expecting?
Well, we got to the end of Avengers, and the Avengers movies, you know, as much as it, like those post-credits things, so many people complain that, or not complain, but they say, why do so many people leave the theater before the post-credits thing? But the post-credits are so fan service.
Like, oh,
don't get
time.
if you're not inside, most of those are just gobbledygook to you.
Yeah, the one after Thor 2 when they're going to see the Collector, I'm like, nobody is going to care about this who does not already know who that character is.
Well, and the one on Captain America, I'm like, I don't even know who that guy is.
What was the one at Captain America?
It was like Von Strucker, I think, is who it was supposed to be in the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They introduced the twins, but it's like, that doesn't mean anything to anybody who doesn't know who they are. It's just two people in a cell.
The twins, at least it meant something to me, but...
Right.
But yeah, I still... So who are they again? Why was that important?
Right. Yeah, you have an Olsen and Kick-Ass locked in a cell for what reason? You're experimenting on them. Makes sense.
So Kick-Ass is part of the Marvel franchise. That's awesome. let's go with that. I got to move that from the third shelf down to the second shelf down where I organize the Marvel movies together.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, we just retconned everything that happened.
and the Ben Affleck when Daredevil happened too. So put that in there. I saw... whichever one had the Thor's hammer at the end of it. I saw that with my wife and
her. Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2. So we're hanging out waiting for the thing. My wife's best friend came with us and, enjoyed the film. And then they're like, oh, well, there's an extra scene. I don't know what it is. So we wait and wait and wait. And they're like out in the desert and there's a big hammer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes.
My wife's cool.
Even my wife actually knew what it was. She's like, yes. And my wife's friend is like, I sat here for 10 minutes waiting to look at a hammer. Like, what the hell is that? Like, that's literally what she said. Why am I still sitting in the theater to look at a hammer?
Yeah. Because it's a really big hammer.
Well, in the one, like the Thanos one, for me, it was like super double Christmas. I was just like a little kid who just read my first Thanos comic. I was like I was vibrating. I was so excited that what I had just seen. And my wife's like, that's Darkseid, right?
Well, essentially yes, but no.
Okay, first I gotta go back to Jim Starlin and Jack Kirby in the 1970s. And then I had to walk home.
Oh, isn't that how it always goes?
Yes.
Yeah, I worked in an office at the time that Avengers came out. And of course, you know, kind of got out that I'm like the comics guy in the office. So everyone was like coming up to me, like, "Hey, who was that guy at the end of Avengers?" I'm like, "How much time do you have? Like, if you're getting ready to take lunch, great. But this is a 2-minute conversation. Just keep walking."
My description actually did not, I did not land that sale. I said he's an alien who is in love with death and wants to destroy all life. Which,
I mean, that's
of course,
that's the short version.
That's the elevator pitch of Thanos.
I think that's actually how he was originally pitched.
Yes. I did not make the sale though. That did not sell. That did not work.
Unfortunate.
All right, good news story. I will close the tab that had that news story. If we were scoring this, you'd be up by one because I was going to use that news story.
Yes.
Well, let's go with Entertainment Weekly. Entertainment Weekly's double Comic-Con preview issue.
You jerk.
Has Avengers Age of Ultron on the cover.
Yep.
And we've got a look at Iron Man. What looks like he's got a revamped armor. Looks
surprise, surprise.
It's starting to look a bit like the 1980s armor, like the red it's got a lot less red on it than it has before. A lot more yellow.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. I think, but after three though, after they use so many designs,
mm-hmm.
it just got to start going somewhere.
And I have not seen any other photos from it besides the cover. I don't know. You had mentioned that some showed up somewhere, but I have not seen anything besides that.
Yeah.
Captain America, we also got a little bit of change to his uniform. There's some different red piping and such that's been added. Both of these guys look kind of poorly photoshopped onto the bodies.
That's probably actually the truth of the situation.
And
yeah, we go ahead.
And we got a look at Ultron.
This
is a good look at Ultron. All we've seen so far are some set photos. Get a look at a very, very robotic, glowy-eyed Ultron with a whole bunch of Ultrons in the background, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, did you catch the... They released a small little article about it, but they kind of explain what's going on there. Did you happen to catch that?
I did not see that part.
So... This is, you know, kind of spoiler for the movie slash if you know, if you've kind of been paying attention, it's not really a spoiler at all, but they reveal that the whole idea is that Tony Stark has, you know, kind of reached this point after three movies and the Avengers that, hey, I'm getting really tired and old. I'm going to create a suit that can fight crime for me. And so he ends up creating Ultron. And a whole bunch of other robots to also replace the other Avengers. And then Ultron decides the best way to save humanity is to kill most of it, I guess. So that's where the whole plot of the movie is going to stem from.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that when they first released a little teaser trailer at Comic-Con last year, it was a Iron Man mask that was kind of getting banged up and changed into the shape of Ultron. So that's kind of how everyone thought this was going to be going. So the pictures are neat. We don't really get to see much. We see Hawkeye in his new costume. We do see that Rhodey is going to be in there. But aside from that, it's nothing big. It just seems to be, I think there might be a big reveal at Comic-Con. Obviously, they're just kind of trying to ramp up the hype for it a little bit.
That was the big surprise, actually, is that Rhodey will play some part in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I had not heard that. There is I did just find the photos here that EW has on their website, and there's one of the costumes hanging on a rack. Rhodey's is not one of them, but Nick Fury's is. So we're gonna see some Nick Fury. Hawkeye's got an updated costume as well that looks his jacket's too long really for fighting.
Hasn't that always been his issue, though? I mean, at least in like the 80s and 90s, he always had weird long jackets.
And ironically, after all of the upset with Quicksilver's costume, that photo that came out early of X-Men Days of Future Past, where everyone hassled the Quicksilver costume design.
Yeah.
There is a photo of Quicksilver where you get a really good look at his costume, and I think it's terrible.
Yeah, I saw the set photos a while back, and I wasn't a big fan of it, but that was around the same time the Days of Future Past ones came out, so, I mean, I kind of felt like I had to pick a side. I was like, yeah, go Team Avengers 2. But now that I've seen Days of Future Past, I'm like, you guys got to step up the game. Come on.
And in fairness, I mean, this is it's not even really a costume. It's kind of a special costume. The same as Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch has a little red jacket on. And some kind of long necklace. Quicksilver looks like he's wearing jean shorts, honestly. It does look kind of like jean shorts.
Well, you know, but when you're fighting crime.
But over leggings. So, you know, macho.
There's a weird pattern on the pants that does make it look like that. I'll just say it. Yeah, it looks like he just woke up in the morning. I was like, oh man, I got to be part of this big fight in 10 minutes. What do I got? Which you think a guy who's moving that fast could take the time to figure out what he's going to wear. But yeah, I find it odd that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are playing siblings in this movie, and in the last movie they were in together, they were married. Did you happen to catch Godzilla while it was out there?
I did catch Godzilla. I barely remembered that she was in it, to be honest.
Yeah, she was the face of the screen. Wait, we've made contact.
Speaking of Godzilla.
I believe that we're now speaking to another planet.
The SETI project is trying to decode Chris right now. Chris? Come in.
Ultron has heard our words and is not pleased.
Turns out Ultron designed Quicksilver's costume. Very unhappy with him bad-mouthing it. He likes jean shorts.
Well, I mean, they're stylish, right?
And comfortable in the summertime. So.
Yeah, we don't know when this movie's taking place.
Right, it could be a particularly warm summer. In the 1980s.
We're talking function over fashion, guys. Come on.
Right.
So do we not have Chris? Was that a tease?
I think that was merely a tease that we were going to get Chris there. All right. I don't know how to score that one. I think you're up like a point and a quarter to three quarters because you knew the show the movie description. go ahead with another news story.
Oh man. Okay. So moving away from the mainstream. Yeah. I don't really see. Okay. I don't really have any other big stories, but one that I thought was interesting, was that IDW announced two new series coming out, the first being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters, the other being Edward Scissorhands, which is a comic everybody was clamoring for.
Because literally no one demanded it. It's the Edward Scissorhands comic. What an odd property to pick up.
I know, and I mean, IDW, you know, is kind of known for picking up the wayward movie properties, but you think they'd have more options.
Weird. Where do you go with that one? Like,
I don't know. He starts making paper craft. Like, literally, he runs into more struggles of not being able to use a keyboard in the modern age. I'm very confused.
Edward Scissorhands and the challenge of the iPad. That's what we'll be getting.
I would read that. Just as long as it's very tongue-in-cheek, like maybe if there's no dialogue, just his reaction faces, he keeps looking like Jim Halpert from The Office every time he punctures something. Just looks, you know, looks at the audience and just kind of does that half shrug.
I mean, even by the end of that movie, it was rocking my suspension of disbelief that, like, how could you still not be aware that you've got blades sticking out of your hand? I mean, I would have eventually figured this out, started adjusting my behavior accordingly.
Right, like maybe put some quirks on the end there.
just so, you know, you don't hack your girlfriend to pieces while you're trying to get a smooch. Like, you know, some sort of, you would start working out some practical behaviors. But I expect it'll be him trying to work out an iPad.
Well, it has been apparently, I'm looking at the description real quick, it's apparently been 2 decades since the end of the movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, they are jumping ahead, so that will put them in about, modern day, I guess.
So if they're going to jump ahead and do this as a real time gap, he better not have I have scissors for hands kind of moments. He really should be adjusted to this whole thing by now.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really count on it, because from the direction it looks like it's taking, it's that he's spent, 20 years just by himself in that mansion he was in at the end of the movie, not around any other people. So he'll probably be just as surprised by everything as the movie. I expect it to not do well.
So it'd be like Edward Scissorhands meets that Blast from the Past movie, where the guy comes out of the underground bunker.
I did not expect that movie to be referenced today.
Neither did I, but it's interesting to ask.
It did come up, yeah.
Honestly, I talked to someone today, an older gentleman I know, that he's lived in the same house for over 60 years, and he's cleaning out the basement, and he has found these boxes that he kind of forgot they were there because they were stored so long ago. They're boxes of canned and dried food that he stored in 1962 for the Cuban Missile Crisis.
What?
And I'm like, you've got to give me pictures. Like, you got to get, he's like, well, I've just been opening the cans and dumping them out and recycling the cans. I'm like,
this is practical. Some
photos. Like,
yeah. Like, that is bizarre.
They've been down there for, 52 years. I figured I might as well clean it out now. seriously.
Wow. Cuban, wow.
I guess he called the university and they said, well, what the hell are we going to do?
Right, exactly.
I couldn't believe it as he's telling me this. It was a real thing. Like, he had actually stockpiled food in 1962 and never touched it again.
Well, and you know, there's still people who with Y2K have done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's people with bunkers still full up.
I'm so disappointed I didn't build that YGK bunker. I did stock up on bottled water. That was the only thing I did stock up on for YGK.
So I don't want to make you feel old here, but I was 13 at the time. So for me, it was like, yeah, whatever.
That could have been worse. Like,
okay. So, I mean, I was just born at the time.
No, but I was conceived on Y2K, so I don't really know much about it other than that story, which, they're always an uncomfortable story for someone to hear from the brand. I was either a celebratory child, or I was going to help repopulate the earth. They didn't know which one.
Right, they were just taking a shot. Like, either way.
Anyway, it's going to be a nice story to tell him when he's 14.
I'm not 14 for the record.
All right.
I think it's onto your point then with the true story.
I kind of rattle in my brain with that. That's an extremely odd property. I've seen Stranger.
Yeah.
But it's certainly an unusual one. It's getting up at the edge of the strangest one.
Well, and like Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters, at least we're going to have some fun with that, That can be a lighthearted, good time book. This, I just have no idea what they're going to do.
I think there should be more romantic romance films made into comic books. I'm thinking of The Piano would be a good, that sounds like a boom book to me.
It really does. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Time Traveler's Wife. That's ready made.
Oh yeah, how is that not one?
Why isn't that a comic? That should be that could be an ongoing, and the many other times that he visited her as a small child that was really uncomfortable for anyone to pay attention. Like, yeah. I can see how this would have worked in the book, but it's kind of weird to watch.
I haven't seen the movie, so I'll take your word for it.
It's no Edward Scissorhands.
Is anything, though, is anything?
The Harvey Awards. The Harvey Awards nominations have come out.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go through them all, obviously, but Calgary local creator, Canadian treasure, Fiona Staples, nominated in two categories. Nominated for Best Artist. Exciting. And Best Artist, and I believe it's Best Cover Artist, is the category she's nominated in.
Let me see. Yeah, Cover Artist.
Just terrific. And I just hit a couple of the highlights here. Best New Series, Afterlife with Archie, Quantum and Woody, Sex Criminals, Six Gun Gorilla, and Suicide Risk.
It's a tough category.
Best Continuing Series, Archer and Armstrong, Daredevil, Hawkeye, Hits, Mouse Guard, and Saga. So six titles. How many of those do you get?
So
Archer and Armstrong?
Not Archer and Armstrong, unfortunately. I should pick it up, I know.
I was getting it. I lost the thread somewhere along the way.
Yeah, Daredevil's kind of an every once in a while pickup. So was Hawkeye, but for completely different reasons. Mainly because there's only an issue once every like 6 months. And Saga is probably my absolute favorite series going on right now. But that's the only ones from that from there.
Saga, I actually thought it was only a limited series, so I did get all of that. And Archer and Armstrong, I lost the thread sometime during last year. I think they did a crossover and I didn't dig it and never came back to it. That's where I kind of lost track of that one.
Yeah.
We all love Saga though. And it will be the least surprising of surprising things if Saga wins Best Continuing.
Right. But at least it's a series that deserves it. You know, I mean, that's sort of the great thing about comic awards is you never really see when you're like, well, that was a political choice. It's like, yeah, you know, I can understand.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's always that book that's sold like, you know, 800 copies and it, you know, sweeps the awards. And it's not to say it doesn't deserve it. It's just, you know, there's always like at least now with digital, one of those books wins all the awards and you can actually go read it.
Right.
You know, up until a couple of years ago, you would hear about that comic that swept the awards, has not been released in trade, and you would never, ever come across it.
Yeah. It's like, good luck reading it, maybe one day.
You may someday find one of the three issues in the back issue bin. You will never put it together or run.
Right, and but when you see it, you'll completely forget that you were looking for it and not realize until later.
I do good want to luck. Dig up some of the best graphic albums. Battling Boy, Cyborg 009, March Book 1, which is incredible. That one I have read. The Fifth Beatle, which is also a really great read.
And, oh, wow.
The Reason for Dragons from Boom, which I have not read. Two Archaea books in there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I haven't read any of these.
March is really, really great. It's about the civil rights movement. Yeah, really a great read. The Fifth Beatle is also a good one. The Fifth Beatle was nothing new for me. I know Brian Epstein's story quite well, but... Mm-hmm. For those that aren't familiar with kind of the early days of the Beatles, it's a great read. I mean, it's a quality read to begin with. Either way, but I expect March will be the winner there.
Okay, I'll have to add it to my ever growing to read list.
Yeah, I've got to see what is available for. What's available digitally for some of those and starts putting together. Visit the Harvey Awards website, find out all of the ones that are coming out. If you are a professional comics creator, you can vote in the Harvey Awards.
Oh, nice. You know, I really got to say, just kind of looking through these categories real quick, I think probably one of the biggest categories I wouldn't expect is the best cover artist. I mean, there are some heavy hitters in that category.
Let's see if I can find out on this.
It was near the kind of near the top. If you're on, I don't know what you're looking it through, but
I am on Comicosity. Did I mention that the news with Cup Report K is sponsored by Comicosity.com? That's where I am right now. I don't think I mentioned that at the top of the news, but that is what's happening.
Yes, that is where I am as well.
And still freeze. Damon, interesting. Not seen his name in a long, long time. Andrew Robinson, Quantum and Woody is quite a surprising one to me. That's kind of an out of left field nomination for that one. The others I can, like I, Clive Barker's Next Testament, Goni Montez, which is or possibly Joni. Not gonna, hey, I'll say both, hoping one of them's right. I recall those being great covers. Quantum and Woody, I don't actually remember them being a thing. So, I can just Google that, and it won't cost me anything to find out what I think of that.
Right, cover. Exactly.
Intriguing. Yeah, intriguing list of. I mean, certainly a lot of variety in the companies represented. We've got a lot of Rachel Rising up for a couple of awards in different categories, a lot of love, of course, for Hawkeye, which was a top book last year for nominations. Daredevil as well. So some perennials. So do you have any other news stories?
Let me look through my list here. Nothing major. If you want to hear me go in depth on the next Batman storyline coming out, they're talking about Endgame. You can check out this week's Heck Yeah Comics podcast coming later this week. But aside from that, I got nothing.
All right. Well, I'll do one last thing. Now this is something that that will be quite a bit before your time, David. This is a now that Marvel has the rights back to Star Wars, and will start be.
I just saw this story.
It'll start being produced. Start producing Star Wars material very shortly, and in their quite popular omnibus format, they're going to be releasing Star Wars: The Original Marvel Years. This omnibus will have issues 1 through 44 and the first annual in the giant omnibus. Now there's some really cool artwork. Howard Chaykin, Carmine Infantino, Walt Simonson, Herb Trimpe, Michael Golden, Al Williamson, and Mike Glassberg are all in this, and a new cover by Howard Chaykin and Greg Hildebrandt. So very cool. Not sure how the math works out. It's interesting where they've decided to cut. They've actually decided to cut the Empire Strikes Back adaptation, because this series started with the New Hope adaptation. 44 is the end of the Empire Strikes Back adaptation. The stuff in the middle is all non-canon Star Wars, obviously.
Right.
Because this is one of the many reasons why I thought the upset that the expanding universe is not going to be canon as they go to the new movies was a bit overwrought, is that with every new thing that comes out, they make the books and comics non-canon. It's happened every time a new Star Wars movie has come out. Literally, this stuff was made non-canon when Empire Strikes Back came out, as was Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Splinter of the Mind's Eye Splinter of the Mind's Eye was a backup script that was then made into a novel. It was a version of a Star Wars sequel that could have been made much cheaper than Empire Strikes Back. It was non-canon as soon as Empire came out. The issues from, I think, 6 to 40 of Marvel Comics were non-canon as soon as Empire came out. all the stuff after 44, which if this is successful will be, you know, in later on the buy. Is a completely different take. They drifted so far away from Return of the Jedi that Return of the Jedi is not included. Wasn't even Star Wars had been issues 1 through 5 or something, and then Empire was 40 to 44 or something like that. Jedi became its own miniseries because it could not be incorporated in what they were doing. By the time they got to, you know, 3 years after the Empire adaptation, they've totally changed the rebellion. There's another bad Jedi. Han had to be freed because, you know, you got to do 3 years of Star Wars comics, you know, with Han Solo in them. Like, come on. So they had to actually write their own Han Solo gets freed story. They use the fat schlubby Jabba the Hutt instead of the animatronic one. They actually use the original gangster type Jabba the Hutt.
That's what he was like. He was like a guy, right?
He's just a guy in like furs. Yeah. Just a chubby guy.
Yeah. It was really bizarre.
Yeah. And that was the original, design of Jabba the Hutt. And then when they did Jedi and they were actually introduced him, they decided to go a different direction. And then later, that was what they planned all along, because that's the way George Lucas does it, is just pretend that that's the way it was going to be all along.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's his whole thing.
No, it was that. I mean, sure, we gave the guy a costume, which makes it look like that was supposed to be what he looked like. But no, we always meant to invent computer programs.
Right, exactly. No, we were waiting for the technology to catch up.
That's right. To make the worst scene in the remasters.
God, you know, I had some friends who wanted to watch, you know, all six of them, and I was like, you know, that's great. We'll watch the prequels because, you know, whatever you want to. But we got to the original trilogy. I was like, hey guys, I own the, you know, like original. None of the new edit crafts. And they're like, no, you know, let's do the remaster. And I'm like, okay, friendship over. This was great. Really, really nice knowing you.
So. Most of the remaster stuff I'm actually fine with. And some of the stuff in Empire, I will say I prefer. Cloud City in the remaster, I prefer. Where it's a much brighter thing. You put in a lot of extra windows and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, rewatching it now, it wasn't as terrible as the internet has taught me it is.
Yeah,
but
well, you'll have a slightly different perspective having grown up with you know, more Star Wars movies than us for sure.
Sorry, excuse me.
That's all right. But we are of course drifting. All right, I think that's it for news.
All right.
And I am texted that Chris is still struggling with what he says is a infected computer. That is why he cannot connect for us now on the show.
This is why you always use protection, people.
That's right. That's right. I tried explaining this. Someone asked me what. How important the antivirus and software was, and I said, well, in your day to day, it's as important as protection in sex. If you do things like visit BitTorrent sites or pornography sites, it's kind of like how important protection and how prophylactic is. In like a Taiwanese strip joint, like it's
right. You're really and we're not encouraging people to go to BitTorrent sites, pornography sites, or Taiwanese strip clubs here. People, we're just, you know, we're making an analogy, very broad.
That's right. I would say no more than one of those three should be visited by anyone.
But we're gonna leave it up to you to decide.
That's for your own moral compass to decide.
Exactly.
Well, as Chris struggles to listen intently to the show, I don't know that we actually did. We work out any topics that we're talking about. We could talk about some new DC stuff. We were talking before the show that we both had a chance to read some DC number ones.
I was not told there would be any specific topics, but I am, and I'm easy going. I'm laid back. I'm ready for whatever. So,
well, let's interview you a bit, David.
Okay.
So you're old enough to be my nephew. I'd have to be pretty randy for you to be anything but that. I'd have to be a randy tween. So what was your first comic? Where did you start? Where did the habit start?
Okay. So I'm coming at it from a completely different angle than I think most people. Because I was around comics a lot. I hung out at a comic shop all the time, but I didn't like it was really a social thing for me when I first started hanging out there. And then I got really close to some of the employees at the shop I was going to, and they started recommending stuff to me. But I was really into anime at the time. So I don't know. When you're around people who like anime a lot, you have this really weird view of American comics. And it's really a tainted view entirely, but you know, finally someone was like, hey, check out this Batman story, which was supposed to be the death of Ra's al Ghul. I forget what the name of the story was. Obviously it wasn't his actual death. But I got hooked by that big time. My brother was in comics growing up, and ever since then, I just been reading whatever I can get my hands on.
What was it called? Death of the Demon, or was it one of the graphic novels?
No, it was. Hold on, this is gonna drive me crazy.
All right. Well, in the We Talk tradition, looking up stuff on the internet while doing the show.
Uh-huh. Oh man, it may have been Death of the Demon.
That is vague.
Yeah, this is real exciting for everyone right here. Death and the Maidens. That's what.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I know I've heard of the story. I'm not sure that I don't think I've read it. I am aware of its existence, as if that's really something that matters.
Well, and you know, as most Americans are, I was very interested in Batman. So I think that was an easy door for me to go through when someone was like, hey, you know, check out this Batman story. And started a love affair that should never be.
Batman certainly, for all the flack the multiple Batman titles get, it is one of the most successful gateway characters for sure.
Just
because of all the various, right? And I mean, I would say much more than Superman ever has been.
Definitely. I mean, within the last 15 years, 15, 20 years, for sure.
Yeah, Batman 1989, the first Tim Burton Batman film, still seen as probably, it may now have fallen below Walking Dead, but, you know, one of the most successful properties to transition people to reading comics for sure. What's up with you?
Hello?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
Just lost
somebody
track.
Just froze for somebody lost froze for a second there. Yeah, that's okay. We're all back in.
Lost the feed. Well, Chris, can you still hear us? if you can still hear us, say nothing.
Fantastic. Well, if you have anything to contribute, blink once.
We're getting a bunch of new DC stuff right now. Mm-hmm. We've seen the DC solicits for October, and We're getting some change of creators there. We talked about Batgirl last week on the show. We're getting there's going to be a co-writer on Earth 2.
I'm surprised. That is a book that I'm surprised is still going on.
It's really kept a solid following. It's not been gigantic numbers, but it has been steady numbers.
Yeah, and you know, I read the first few issues, and it just, I don't know, it didn't hit for me. The writing was kind of bad in the first couple issues. So it's cool that it's still around. I know it's got a big presence, especially with Future's End stuff going on, but I'm really, really kind of shocked that it's still going, doing its stuff.
Yeah, and it's, when it changed writers, certainly, I've had a couple of ups and downs with the book. I like the quality of writing. I find it a bit, the last like year's worth of story has taken place in the space of about 3 days. It's not that it's decompressed, because there's actually quite a lot happened, but, it's been over a year since I've seen a couple of the characters, because, you know, this little storyline that's going on that has been absorbing the book since Tom Taylor took over has really been this compressed alien invasion story. Hmm. And just this war that's been going on. But like I said, it's taking place over a very, very short period of time. So there is no, like, you know, the person who got injured 14 issues ago is not any better 4 days later than they were. So it's not like they can get back into the battle. The battle's only been going on for a few days. So it's a great book to read in chunks, though. And
maybe that's what I should do.
And like you were saying, Future's End going on right now. One of my, it's my first read every week. My new first hook. And World's End starts in October, which is the Earth 2 weekly.
Yeah, it's I'm looking at the solicits right now. I just love the title of it. It's Earth 2 World's End Number 1.
And so Future's End takes place 5 years from now, after a war between Earth 1 and Earth 2.
Yeah.
So World's End is presumably that war.
Okay.
Future's End is the results of. And these are all leading to some kind of thing in April or May of next year. Because all three weeklies, including Batman Eternal, end at the same time in April.
Yeah, they're playing the long game here.
Yeah, like this is a big, I've stepped away from Eternal, because once World's End was announced, I can't manage three weeklies.
I understand.
I can manage two. I can do two, and I will greatly enjoy them. But I'm not invested enough in Batman to do a weekly Batman family book. Someday I'll read them all in trade.
And I'm really enjoying it. I do think it's actually been of a higher quality than I expected from a weekly book. They've kept the pacing pretty well. And the focus has actually rarely been on Batman,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of nice. You know, seeing this bigger story that Batman's kind of just popping in and out of. I haven't been keeping up with Future's End, unfortunately. I need to catch up on it, because we've been doing a event updates on our show every once in a while, and that's the next one we're doing. I think we're about four behind right now. But Future's End wasn't grabbing me a whole lot in the beginning, but it's gotten a lot better. I think now that we're getting a better sense of this new world.
And it's really the characters they're playing with are what's kind of keeping me in. It's like it really has that feel that the 52 had. It's a focus on these like characters that are normally supporting characters, such as like Lois Lane, Red Robin, but also like a lot of like C and D list characters. Plastique is super fun in it. The characters that Mr. Terrific's a key character in it. Frankenstein and Hawkman is a really interesting partnership, and Amethyst, who's there's a dark future character
Yeah, that was an unexpected direction for that.
But yeah, and Constantine turns up in it pretty shortly as well. I think it's in the August issue that he starts turning up, and then we get the big September event where all of the books do a jump forward for 1 month.
Oh, is that how they're doing it?
Yeah. So what's happening with Futures End? Futures End runs weekly, and then every year DC does a September event. So when they launch the new 52 is in September.
Oh, you're right. And then, I hadn't even noticed.
And then the following year was they did the number zeros where they told origin stories for a month. Last year was Villains Month where they suspended everything and they did a focus on villains.
Yeah, that was a great idea.
And this one is, and so this will be at the Future's End month. All the books suspend for a month and everyone gets a five, where these characters are 5 years in the future. Pretty much, there's one or two that don't, but pretty much every character. Every ongoing book has a Future's End book. And my favorite character, Booster Gold, gets a book for a change. I did notice that there is no Booster Gold book in October. Quite disappointed that it is indeed a special. It is not the first issue of an ongoing.
Well, it could be testing the waters, you know.
I've ordered two, and if I have to keep buying them,
if you're going to be the one keeping the numbers going,
I cannot maintain that. I'll be honest. I can do it for a special, but someone else is going to pick up the slack after that.
I'll see what I can do. Talk to my people.
So yeah, that's the big September thing. Will be all these characters getting it. And we're starting to see a lot of Earth 2 stuff turning up. Like the John Constantine image that's come out for October, he's got Dr. Fate's helmet, which is an Earth 2 artifact. One of the recent issues, we saw a bunch of Earth 2 characters in. It's a big investment. You kind of have to be I think you have to be fairly serious into what DC is doing, big picture. And that's always the risk of these things. It's you either go kind of heavy in, or you just leave them all alone.
Yeah, I think aside from the books that I'm picking up week to week, there's maybe one or two that I'll pick up additionally, just out of curiosity. But I don't really see myself dropping. I don't even want to think about how much money on all of them.
It's a lot. Even at three, it's $3. So, I mean, $12 a month. But you do that twice. And then once you do that, you need, like, if you're going to go into World's End, you'll need to get Earth 2 in all likelihood. you're starting to add up once you add in Earth 2 and, you know, if you're going to do any of the special stuff in September, you're really looking at what for most people is just a full list.
Yeah.
Just to follow that one thread.
Yeah. There was an old shop I went to. Somebody was, one of the employees was telling me that this guy would come in and he would pick up every week, every Marvel and every DC book.
Wow.
Obviously the guy was loaded. His wife was always with him and she didn't want to see the number, so they would have to write down how much it was going to be on a piece of paper, slide it to him on the counter. He would look at it and then just pay it up.
Wow.
Obviously, he didn't care, but he didn't want his wife knowing.
And I think what's, I've got a lot of mixed feelings about that. If you've got that kind of money, the idea that you would only read Marvel and DC is really kind of sad to me.
Well, I don't think he was even necessarily reading all of them. I think it was just he was picking them all up.
Just the collection momentum. Oh, now I feel sad inside. it's a good time to mention visit Comicosity. I've got a new blog, a new op-ed that I put up this week with the rather provocative title, How the Comic Bag Destroyed Comics.
How the comic bag
destroyed comics.
Interesting.
It is a history. It is a look at the at how everything that people say is wrong about comics is caused by the idea of treating comics as a holy relic instead of a disposable medium.
That's interesting, and that's an interesting idea. I remember talking to someone not too long ago about how we don't have a lot of these issues, you know, these really iconic issues. We don't have a lot of Superman, you know, the All-Star, whatever, number one. We don't have a lot of X-Men number one, because back in the day, somebody would buy them, and then they would pass it off to their friend when they were done, and they would keep getting passed on until it was, you know, fallen apart. And yeah, we've really destroyed that mentality, where I know people who, when they pick up Saga, they get two issues. One they read, one goes directly into a, you know, bag, and is never touched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, and that's where I was gonna, where I kind of started from, was the idea that this was a disposable medium. It was cheap, printed on the cheapest paper available. One publisher, Charlton Comics, was actually run on newsprint at night on machines that were printing cardboard boxes for cereal during the day. This was really not specialized material. It was all run on newsprint. It was stock. It was yellow. It had really lousy color on it. It was a gray at best, not the pristine white stuff you get now for a comic page. Colors never looked right. I always find it weird when I go back and like I read digitally, or read in trade John Byrne Supermans. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Superman eras is the late 80s Superman. But those were all printed on newsprint. And now I read them in trade or read them digitally, and they look so different to me, mm-hmm. because they're on a pure white background. They weren't intended to be seen in this kind of pristine, pure white that you get now. And it actually looks a bit strange to me. It took a lot of adjusting.
That's interesting.
To get used to what it looks like now. Got beeps from Chris.
He's trying to communicate. He's an ancient code.
He's communicating in a series of beeps.
So he really is Ultron. We have cracked the case. Are you sure? Are you muted there, Chris? I mean, we heard your beeps. Something's going on.
that is a new one. I will say that is a brand new one for us. That one of our hosts. Beep once for yes and twice.
Should change trust? Topics, just mash the button. Oh, fantastic.
Best episode ever. Okay, well, let's go into reviews. And now,
okay.
Chris, can you actually communicate with beeps? One beep for yes. All right. This is now my favorite thing. Okay. All right.
Best introductory episode ever.
So let's do some wee views.
All right.
And Chris, are we saving you from bad comics? Nice. All right. Where do you want to start? Let's start with, we'll just go alphabetically. Black Market. Frank
Perry,
art by Victor Santos. Frank, a recent guest on one of the special episodes of We Talk. This is a Boom Studios miniseries, part 1 of 4. Colors by Adam Metcalf. Variant cover by Cameron Stewart, who is just taking over on Batgirl coming up.
Yep.
And this is... How would I describe this book? We don't tend to summarize. I know on Heck Yeah you do a lot of storytelling.
Yeah, I'm trying to kind of move away from that because it eats up a lot of time. And really, he's not here right now, so I can say this freely. It's Nick's fault. I like to give a quick summary, but there will be times where he has just given us the play-by-play. So, but we're in your house. We'll play by your rules. So. So go for it.
So what we have is a kind of a poor schlub who is roped by his brother into trying to get it's blood samples from superheroes that they're going.
Well, yeah, it's just superhero DNA, I think, is the general phrasing they give.
Yeah, and they believe that if they get superhero DNA, they can use it to do all sorts of stuff, including cure his wife's MS. That's why he has been brought into this. Is he has specialized skills, but he has a sick wife who he would like to help. So I'm glad it's a mini. I don't think that I like the idea that this will be a contained story. I don't think it's got the legs for a long one, but it's an interesting perspective of the guy who's neither a hero nor a villain. He has noble reasons for what he's doing. But certainly he's not on the side of the angels, as his good for nothing brother brings him into this. The art by Santos is interesting. Is kind of how I would put it. It's not the cleanest stuff. I don't really know what to compare it to. It's almost like it's cleaner than Paul Pope, but it does kind of, it's in that range. So I'm not 100% sure I'm going to keep going. I may read it a second time and see if it's, kind of connects more.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of go from there. Mixed feelings, I'll say at best.
Yeah, that's fair, and that's kind of, I think, where I'm coming out of this as well. I was actually a little confused by the last page, where the guy. I mean, I'm assuming it's okay if I say some spoilers here. Is that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, he says at the end that, you know, I kill superheroes as kind of his profession, which it took me a minute to realize that, because the narration seemed to be tracking with him as he was going forward, and I kind of got lost a little bit, and I was like, wait a minute, he didn't think he was hurting anyone, but
I also lost track of the timeline thread and had to go back, because there's date stamps. But I actually got backwards on which took place after, like which section of the story takes place after the other one. So yeah, I also had that stumble of when something took place.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good one since it's only four issues. It'll probably be fine to wait and, you know, a few months until they're all out and then give it a go. The art at times, I thought the art was really good. At others, like you said, it's clean, it's fine, but it's kind of a mixed bag. I think I'll probably be waiting for the trade on this one personally. Like, the character does interest me. The story is not incredibly original. I like that it's in a superhero setting, but, you know, the guy getting tricked by trying to do something noble is not terribly refreshing.
All right, and Chris, from 1 to 5 beeps, tell us your rating on the comic. Let's see if we still have enough for beeps. Oh, I don't even know if we've got beeps from Chris right now.
Oh. Maybe it's 0 beeps.
Or it could be 0. Oh.
3
beeps. All right, 3 out of 5 that's, from Chris.
That's a fair rating.
All right, so that's pretty middling.
Which is Chris, it's funny when Chris was
one beep for yes. Are you going to keep buying this, Chris? One beep for it. One for yes, 2 for no. Okay, all right. Chris is going to keep going with this.
Well, it's funny when he was telling me about, you know, how you guys kind of show runs. Like, yeah, we do reviews, but we don't really do a rating system. And here we are.
We do tend to go with whether you. We tend to go with whether you're going to whether you will continue reading it or not is kind of I'm not much for because all I can rate it against is other things I like or don't like. There's really like, short of listing the last 3 things I really liked and the last 3 things I really didn't. I know the last one I really didn't was Teen Titans, so that gives you some guys. I thought it was stinky.
Yeah.
Chris, did you read Teen Titans? Oh, no beeps. Okay.
I think he's...
Oh, no, he did not get a chance to read.
He's on a little bit of a delay, I think.
Or he wasn't ready to press a button.
He had to think about it. Did I?
I don't know how he's beeping, to be honest. I don't know.
That is weird.
I'm not sure how we're getting messages from beyond from Chris, other than other than it being hilarious to me and hopefully to our listeners.
He's in that futuristic. He's in that futuristic Star Trek wheelchair via beeps.
That's right. Chris is Commander Pike. Oh,
exactly.
I think we've lost him entirely right now.
We'll figure it out.
All right, and that's Black Market from Boom. Let's see what else we got happening. The Dark Engine. The Dark Engine. Did this one? New Image?
I did.
All right, why don't you start with this one?
All right. So this one was also confusing, but entirely on purpose. We're kind of coming at this... I don't know if this is supposed to be futuristic or alternate. I'm going with alternate reality, I think. Well, but there's... I don't know. It's a little confusing where it's at right now. And there's this woman who is randomly traveling through time trying to fix something terrible that happens. That's really all we know about the story right now. I thought the art was really interesting, really gory. It seems I don't really know if they were trying to really kind of shock you, but there's kind of a couple times, like when she's exploding out of a hippo, that it really feels like it is. When I kind of got the concept of the book, I actually really liked the concept, where she has no control over this and she just has to adapt and move forward. I think that's a really cool idea. She has this weird thing inside of her that bursts out and sends her hurling through time. My curiosity is piqued enough that I will keep an eye on it. And I do, there's times where I really like the art, but again, times where I feel like it's being gory for gory's sake. So, it's a maybe for me. It's an if I remember to pick it up next time.
And so is story Ryan Burton, art John Bivens.
Oh, sorry, I didn't.
That's okay.
Didn't
letters by Crank with an apostrophe, the exclamation mark. Sorry, Dark Engine. There's a couple of times I really dug the art, and a lot of times I really didn't. It is wacky. There's a lot of boob in this thing.
Well, there's for the first couple of pages, I didn't think she had nipples.
Yeah, it's strange that later on you see nipple, and so, which makes me wonder why they were kind of trying to do that, hair over the nipple so that you, so that it's, PG-13 up until that point. Some odd art choices. It's almost like two different books, and the art quality varies widely from page to page as well. It's not a very uniform look. There are times that it's super detailed. Like there's a two page spread early on that is very detailed, kind of poster. And, there's some stuff at this like dark tower thing that is also like, it almost looks painted with what's been done with it, and then the art suddenly degrades again. So it's very uneven as far as that goes. I couldn't even figure out as much as you did from what was going on in the story. So a lot of credit to you. Not one I was helping you with. I got to be honest, it ain't for me. Chris, can you give us a 1 to 5? Oh, we've lost Chris entirely. All right.
He was so offended by the book.
He just hated it so much that he's dropped off entirely. All right. Let's not belabor the Dark Engine. We'll move on to, I know you're reading this just as we were going to start up the episode, The Devilers.
Yep.
This is from Dynamite's Creators Unleashed. It's one of the non-property things that that Dynamite's got coming out. Joshua Hale Fialkov and Matt Triano. Do I have a color by Mark Roberts? Letters by Simon Boland. Main cover by Jock and incentive cover by Mark Silvestri.
I didn't realize that was Jock. Huh. Cool.
I really dig the Silvestri cover, which is the one I've got on the preview that we've got. Which is I think that's the Silvestri cover. It's a demon hand with the holy symbols of a half dozen religions. Just going for the signature. I'm pretty sure that's Silvestri, but I've been wrong before.
Heck of a fight, no.
Difficult one to describe. Basically,
yeah, it really is.
We start off with the Vatican has been completely destroyed. We have a cardinal who has escaped the destruction of the Vatican and says the demons have broken through. So the demons have crossed over in Vatican City. We've got some bad guys. We've got nipples that are covered by flame. So, you know.
Yeah, that was another interest.
So
I was actually thinking that when I was
That can be the theme. Were there naked people who had strategic blood and or flame hiding there?
One of the panels looks like the nipples are actually coming out, or the flames are coming out of her nipples.
It does kind of look so. Like, yeah, I can't figure out the source of the flame, so yeah, well, let's assume that she does have nipples that are alight. it's a generally interesting concept that is so garbled. There's just so much happening, and then they suddenly introduce this team of demon hunters or something on, like, page, 18 of 20, something like that. Like it's like all of a sudden, here's all these other characters that you have to learn, you have to find out about in a panel. I dig the concept. It should be in my wheelhouse, and it just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't stick the landing. It's an overly written book without really feeling like I know any character in it. I'm not even sure the cardinal gets a name. He comes in and says they've broken through. He grabs someone, brings someone in on the adventure. I'm not sure they ever give this character a name.
I don't think they do.
So I'm not going to keep going. I think if I heard that it really kind of hit the ground, like, you know, stuck the landing on issue 3. Right now, not doing it for me.
Yeah, I think you and I are kind of landing at the same place. And especially, you described it as garbled. I think that is a really apt description where there's a lot going on and it's not giving us a lot to hook on to. So, you know, kind of viewing this from a big outside view, it's pretty easy for me to just be like, I'm just going to step back and let that handle itself. they introduce a whole bunch of characters and they give you the vaguest description of who they are and give us no reason to care about them. Even the main character, I think they were trying too hard to make a Constantine kind of guy.
He's just some dude. Like that's like...
Yeah, he's and there's this reporter following him for some reason. Yeah, it's a hard book to track. There's too much going on right away, and it's not worth me having to wait to pick up the next few issues to finally figure out what's happening. I mean, I can get a vague idea, but I don't know. Yeah, it's not enough. It's not enough to keep me there. And the art is not my favorite. It's not the kind of stuff that usually gets me going when it comes to a comic. So, pass.
All right, well, bad news for that one.
Chris, do you have any beeps you want to give us on that one? 1 to 5?
I don't know if we've actually had...
Really?
Book of the week for Chris. Book of the week for Chris. So that's a shocking turn of events.
I did not expect that.
All right. Well, darn it, next week I'm definitely getting Chris to explain that.
I'll be checking in to figure out what's going on.
That's an enthusiastic 5 out of 5 beeps.
Wow.
I can assume that you're going to keep going, Chris. Nice.
Well, hey, maybe he can explain to us what's going on.
It has happened before that Chris has come back a couple months later and said, this is the one you really shouldn't be getting the whole time. Like, you know, you were so wrong. That it has happened before. So this, I could be getting to the Wii Talkie, the Kryptonite Awards. We're renaming the Kryptonite Awards, which are the Wii Talk Comics, annual awards. We could be getting to that when Chris is saying that, the Devilers book of the year. So we'll see what time brings.
Oh, it's a tall order right there.
All right, well, let's do one last one. We've got a book from IDW, which is also branded as 44 Flood, which is not sure why it's got two companies listed on the cover.
To be fair, that 44 really threw me off. And I was like, am I coming in really late into the series? I have no idea what's going on.
And be honest, would number 44 put you off trying a new book?
I mean, depends. Is it in the middle of an arc? Like, maybe? No.
So this is 44 Flood appears to be Ben Templesmith's company. Ben is credited as creator, executive producer, writer, artist, and letterer. And whatever else we can think of. This is actually there's a credit for an art whisperer and a Red Bull enthusiast. Those are the other folks. And a spirit guide. And Chris Ryall, sensei. This will be the hardest book of the week for me to review. I do dig Templesmith in general. It is this, like, ridiculously crazy sci-fi fantasy with... squid monsters and post-apocalyptic and the dude with the giant gun, which is what Templesmith does best.
And a sword.
And a sword and a giant gun. Just, you know, to do the whole deal. He's badass. He's pretty much every page gets more badass than the last.
True.
It's not terribly well written, but it's really well thought. Templesmith doesn't have a long history of writing. Certainly I know his stuff mostly from Fell, the work of Warren Ellis, which was really spectacular work. This one will be hard for me because I want it to be really good. It's so chaotic in the first issue. But I think I'm in for another one just to see how crazy this is going to get. He's got these like squid monsters and people worshiping and squid killers. It's a wacky one. I'm willing to try another issue.
It's a pretty big concept. There's a lot going on here for sure. Unfortunately, did not get to finish it. I skimmed it pretty thoroughly, and I've caught the very basic gist. And like you said, the writing's fine. It's very visual. I mean, obviously, comics are a visual medium, but I feel like that's what they're kind of looking to carry this book is the visual side of it, and it is very striking. There's some very neat designs in here. It's a little dirty and muddled, but that's what the book is calling for. And I think it really sets the tone of the book really well. You know, from what I can see here, it is something that I would be definitely interested in checking out at the very least. So I'll still need to read the first one, but I think this would be something I'd want to pick up and trade maybe when there's a little more fleshed out, reading it all at once. But I am not put off by the idea
all of right.
what I've seen so far.
And I'm not sure, Chris, if Commander Pike can beep in or not. He did text me to say his beeper is stuck. It is. Okay, so you can beep in.
Wait.
Can you give us a 1 out of 5, Chris?
Oh, okay. He was giving us a 1.
Oh, brutal. Are you normally a fan of Temple Smith, Chris? No.
Hmm.
Was it then the writing that put you off? All right. Well, with that, with all the reviews done, I think we'll close out this episode of We Talk Comics. Thanks, David, for joining us, and we will get you and your co-host to do the now that we got the issue 0 out of the way. It has been a goal for a long time for Chris and I to do an actual crossover episode, because the Hangout will not have us up here, we have one of the Hangout hosts join us, but we have not managed to join them at any point. And the Didn't Read It podcast also didn't listen to our podcast. So,
sad. those jerks.
They don't have time to read any comics. They don't have time to listen to podcasts. David, where can they find the Heck Yeah podcast?
So our official title for while you're out there searching for us is Heck Yeah, We Love Comics. You can find us on iTunes. Just look up Heck Yeah Comics. You can also find us at heckyeahcomics.com for all the general information there. We are also on Twitter if you're looking to find out what's going on at our name there is just Heck Yeah Comics. So Heck Yeah Comics if you want to find us. It's really all you need.
Fantastic. Do listen to the show. It's good comic talk. Good old-fashioned comic talk. Chris, you can find on Twitter, Chris_WeTalk on Twitter. I hope otherwise you're having a good evening, Chris. Did you read some good comics today at least? Nice.
Good stuff. That's what matters.
That is more important than anything. Thanks for joining, and thanks for the special guest appearance by Captain Pike. You can find me on Twitter at CubReporterK. You can find us on the web, WeTalkPodcast.com. Comicosity.com. Read my new op-ed, How the Comic Bag Destroyed Comics, available on Comicosity under the Features tab. It's the Read Between the Lines is my column on Comicosity that I update when I think of something. Very nice of them to host a column by me that is just when I get a bee in my bonnet. That is when I publish something. We have some really cool episodes coming up. We got a couple of Kickstarter folks that are launching their projects, so we're going to have them on. We've got a couple of interviews coming up, and also the Calgary Horror Con is right around the corner. We expect we'll do a couple of interviews at that show as well. And with that, we are OUT.